Money 105.5 presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, from Rogerson Business Services, certified business broker Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0.
Good morning and welcome to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson. This morning I had two guests lined up, but unfortunately one had to call in. They had a death in the family. So my first guest, who's Mark Robinson, has been good enough to stay for the entire show for me. So Mark and I are having an interesting conversation. Mark specializes in doing commercial real estate transactions, and he's actually based in LA. And I'll be talking to Mark in a minute, but based in LA, and he does a lot of transactions with a lot of Hollywood companies. So I thought it'd be intriguing to talk about some of his successes, and I actually have a list of some of his successes, and they're pretty impressive. So it'll be fun to talk to Mark and understand what a commercial real estate guy does in LA, and maybe if we can apply it here in Sacramento. That's one of my questions for Mark a little bit later on in the show. So,
and Andrew, yep. I want to know if he knows any movie stars.
Well, we'll find out if he does know any movie stars. I think the answer would be yes, but we'll include it in our list of questions. So that's a good question. So thank you for listening to the show. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. And I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson. And this show is about people that are in business and people are thinking about getting into business. So if you own a business and have questions about finance, legal, tax, accounting, that's what we cover. We bring in guests that have an area of expertise, and commercial real estate is one of those areas of expertise. And again, that's what I'll be talking with Mark about this morning. So my name's Andrew Rogerson. I'm a certified business broker and the host of your show. I'm a certified business broker with the California Association of Business Brokers. I'm also certified with the International Business Brokers Association, and I'm the author of four books: Successfully Buy Your Business, Successfully Start Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Franchise, and When You're Done and Want to Get Out, Successfully Sell Your Business. If you'd like to know more about getting into business or buying a franchise or getting the value of your business, for example, you're welcome to visit my website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com. Lots of free information on there. Or if you've got questions, please give me a call, 916-570-2674. If you're out driving and you hear something of interest to you, each show is recorded and it's available on my website. So it's normally live there, end of the day today or maybe tomorrow. But if you're driving around and have an interest and want to hear the show, you're welcome to visit my website and you can get a recording. Each week I like to mention a charity. I have a belief that nothing gets better without people giving, and the charities are a way to do that. So if you're listening and you've got some spare time tomorrow night, there's an event called Blinded by Laughter Comedy Show. And it's at the comedy show with all the proceeds going to the Society of the Blind. It's tomorrow night at 8 p.m. The venue is a place called Shenanigans, and it's on 705 J Street. So if you've got some time tomorrow night and would like a good laugh, head to Shenanigans, and all the proceeds go to the Society of the Blind. It costs $10 if you book in advance, which I guess you've got to do today. Or if you don't get that done in time, it's $15 at the door. So if you've got questions, give Shenanigans a call. Their phone number is 916-442-1268. So Blinded by Laughter Comedy Show. Sounds like fun. So get in there, and all the proceeds, as I say, go to the Society for the Blind. Each week I post a blog on my website. I put a blog on there last Tuesday morning, and it's called How Do I Get the Highest Price When I Sell My Business? So if you're thinking of selling your business and you want to know how you get the highest price, there's some suggestions on my blog. So you're welcome to go to my blog, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com, and you guessed it, click on the word blog and you'll see each of the blogs that I do. So I've been giving this my guest a big boost. So my guest is Mark Robinson, and Mark hides away in Los Angeles most of the time. Mark, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
No, Mark, thank you for coming and joining me here, and thank you for spending the time with me. I was reading your bio, and it tells me you're originally from New York. So I'm guessing you're a big city guy. Would that be right?
Well, yeah, I find that I like what goes on in the big cities. I'm more comfortable there, but I think as I'm getting older, I find I also don't mind getting out into the country or the desert and spending time relaxing as well. So it's the best of both worlds out here.
Yep, very good. And you're three brothers. You've got there's three brothers in the family. Are you one of three or one of four?
I'm one of four. I have an older brother in New York. My other two brothers and my mom and dad also managed to migrate to California. So older brother, as he described it, he looked around the Thanksgiving table one year and realized everyone had left. But we like having him there. It works having someone in New York to stay with.
So he's in New York, but the rest of the family's in California?
Correct. I have a younger brother who's a yacht builder who splits his time between Newport and Taiwan, and another brother who's an executive for a very large computer reseller here.
Cool. Okay. I spent some time down in San Diego a few years back when they had the America's Cup down there. So that was a great place to hide, and lots of boats and lots of activity happening down there.
Well, it'll be easier for you to get to the Cup this year. It won't be that far away.
Well, I'm trying to keep that low profile. The Aussies, I think they're trying to compete for the Cup. But what amazed me with the America's Cup is they bring all these people in from all around the world to compete, but they're all from another country. Like the guy leading the Swiss America's Cup challenge, he's from New Zealand. So makes no sense to me why they bring these funny guys in with funny accents and pretend they're going to captain the ship. So one of the intriguing things. And Larry Ellison, the owner of Oracle, or I'm not sure he's the owner, but he's the bigwig in Oracle. The guy has so much money, he's just buying real estate in San Francisco for the America's Cup event. So kind of staggers me how they do all that. But I guess that's the way it is.
That's a good headache to have.
It is a good headache to have. So you grew up in New York, but you're headed to Washington, D.C. and Philadelphia. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, I spent some time in Washington, D.C., and I worked for a company that provided commercial security, commercial office buildings with electronic security systems. And the guy who put this company together was fortunate enough to have a few of these buildings online when the Watergate burglaries took place. And all of a sudden, everybody in Washington was hypersensitive about security in their office. And this company just absolutely took off. So I was fortunate enough to get in there on the ground floor and rise up through the ranks, and then went and opened up an office in Philadelphia for them. And the more time that I spent with office building developers selling them this system as part of their, you know, the amenities they could offer to tenants, the more I realized that, you know, these guys drove really nice cars and the brokers seemed to drive nicer cars, and I became more and more intrigued about the whole real estate process. And when I finally decided to move out to Los Angeles, got involved in real estate full-time then.
So you talked about selling this system. So you actually have a formula or a process to get into the commercial real estate market?
Well, yeah, it was more or less learned. The more I learned about office buildings from the security standpoint, the more I learned about how they're financed, and the more I learned about how landlords attract tenants and try to keep tenants. And I just found the whole concept of commercial real estate more interesting than the concept of commercial security. And when I came out to Los Angeles, I had an opportunity to work with a landlord for about 6 or 8 months, acting as the agent for the buildings that he owned. But I discovered what I enjoyed more was representing the tenants who came to me without a broker and working with them. And so I have spent most of my career representing tenants exclusively. I don't do any landlord work at this point. I only represent companies.
So you're getting to some of my questions about real estate, and I'll come back to them. But before I let you off there, I noticed on your bio that you used to be in rock bands in your young days. I think, is that right?
Well, yeah, I think that real estate probably was a healthier long-term career, having seen what happened to some of the people that I had the fortune to play with and meet with. And I still happen to be very close friends with a number of extraordinarily talented musicians who are making ungodly sums of money in the business. But I felt as a guy who wanted to have a family and a more normalized life, the real estate business seemed to satisfy that. So
very good. I'm going to ask some more questions. Mark, I've got to take a break. Thank you for being here this morning. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson, and my guest is Mark Robinson. We're back shortly.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 105.5 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now
on Money 2.0. Money 105.5 and Sacramento Kia salute Sleep Train for brightening the lives of foster children here in Northern California. Drop your gift of school supplies for foster children at any Sleep Train location.
Michael Cropper here. In August, we're supporting Sleep Train foster kids by donating $100 for every new Sacramento Kia sold. And for my football fans, enter to win a Raiders football weekend just for stopping by Sacramento Kia.
Not everyone can be a foster parent, but everyone can help a foster child with Sleep Train, Sacramento Kia, and Money 105.5.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of four books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live, 10 a.m. Tuesdays, right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson, and my guest this morning is Mark Robinson. And Mark's a commercial real estate guy in L.A., doing a bunch of stuff down in L.A. Before break, Mark, we were talking about being in a rock band. Do you have some famous names you can drop there for us or not?
They're just outstanding musicians. Lee Finkelstein, who's out touring with the original Blues Brothers Review. Rob Baracco, who plays with the Dark Star Orchestra. Al Petrelli, who leads the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I'm sure they'll be making their way through Sacramento again this year.
Yep.
And just tons of people that are amazingly talented that no one's ever heard of who are still in the business and still playing and still loving every minute of it. I still play and write, but it's a hobby and it's for my own amusement. And I think every once in a while, if I write a nice romantic song, my wife appreciates it. So we have a good time with that.
Yep, very good. Yeah, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, they come to Sacramento early December most years and play Christmas music. And my wife and I have been to a couple of their shows and just love it. We have their CDs, and they're great. Really enjoy the music.
I'll make sure you connect with Al Petrelli when you get up there. Okay. He grew up next door to me. I taught him guitar until I couldn't teach him anymore. He went way beyond anywhere I went, but they're a fabulous bunch.
Yeah, very good. And I'm looking at your bio. You've been involved with a couple of volunteer projects, the Wounded Warrior Project. And let's talk about the Wounded Warrior Project. What's the Wounded Warrior Projects for those that have served?
Yeah, you know, it's an amazing group. What it basically does is it's a group of people who've come together and worked to assist veterans who've been injured in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere, candidly, who, for example, when these people come home, and one of the things that's taking place is our battlefield treatments are such now that people are living through battlefield trauma that they might not have lived in previous wars, but are coming home seriously wounded and need to have their homes completely modified to adapt to them being in a wheelchair, need to have, you know, who've had brain damage, who need long-term therapy. Wounded Warriors is a group of those guys and gals who go out and they do extraordinary things. They do these soldier rides, which are nuts. I did a ride out in the Hamptons several years ago. It was 95 degrees and 95% humidity.
Wow.
And I had these kids coming by, you know, who'd lost their legs in battle, pedaling with their arms and just buzzing by me. And so it's an organization that's really dedicated to making sure that these veterans who served and been wounded get the care and get the help that they need. And I would encourage all of your listeners to go onto the Wounded Warrior website and do whatever they can in that regard. Sometimes it's just volunteering time. Other times it's making a contribution.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm putting on the spot here, but do you know the web address? So I guess if you just do a Google search for the Wounded Warrior Project.
Wounded Warriors will pop right up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, fantastic. Yeah, thanks for mentioning that.
Sure.
There's just so much opportunity to help people and tremendous work that the Warriors have done. So it's great to acknowledge it and help them in some way. So thank you for mentioning that. I also see you used to be the past president of the LA chapter of Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. What was your motivation to get involved with helping MAD?
Mothers Against Drunk Driving is, to me, one of the most successful grassroots stories ever because it was just people who were fed up with the devastation that was being caused by people who chose to drink and drive.
Right.
And I had lost enough friends, a family member, over the years in incidents that were involving driving and alcohol that I decided with three kids it was probably a good time to do two things. One, you know, give them the idea that when you live in a community, you need to give something back to make it a better community. And the other was I wanted to make sure that the message of no drinking and driving got pounded into them as they were growing up. And so all three of them have met a number of people whose lives have been permanently altered, damaged, or changed through that. And so that was just another group that was wonderful to be involved with.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. My brother's actually this is a global problem. My brother's the director of the Australian Drug Foundation in Australia, and their primary activity is educating the community on drinking. And Australia, we love our sports in Australia, and a lot of the alcohol companies were getting involved in the sports and promoting the drinking. So there had to be some balance in there, and one of the projects of my brother was to try and educate the community and keep the youngsters off the drink to an age where they were mature enough to be able to handle it. So
right, that's fabulous.
There's just an enormous need. You know, drinking is it's part of our culture, part of our society, but it has its downside, and we've really got to find a way to educate people and help them get to a place where they're old enough to be able to handle it and the responsibilities that goes with drinking and drinking properly.
Well, I think one of the benefits of my being involved was that I also managed to strong arm one of my landlord buddies into giving them free office space for 15 years. So it was a nice way to cut the overhead.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's fantastic. So we were talking before. Your focus is a commercial real estate guy, but you didn't start there. You started selling. You're involved in securities. Help me understand that a little bit better.
It was a typical kind of security system, except these guys decided that it shouldn't be guards, that they should put a security system on every office. And I don't mind telling you, probably the most successful part of the security system was the little red light at everyone's door. It was enough of a deterrent that they were able to prove that the crime statistics went down in the buildings they covered. And as I said, Watergate and that sensitivity really blossomed it. But I lost interest in that when I saw the kind of money that could be made and how much more fun it seemed like the people that were involved in development and leasing and that type of business. And so I met a number of brokers during that period and just decided that's something I wanted to do.
Yep.
And, I've met some pretty interesting people with interesting stories as to how they've gotten in the business, lawyers, nuclear physicists. It's a business that attracts a lot of interesting people who are all primarily connected by having a very entrepreneurial bent.
Right. And what's interesting to me is that most people make their money somewhere else, and then they come into the commercial real estate industry because that's part of their investment strategy and the investment portfolio. Have I got that right?
To some degree, but I know that I've also worked with a lot of guys who came right out of UCLA and SC, intern
yep.
during the summers. And then immediately, on graduation started. There's in Los Angeles, I could probably name 30 or 40 people that I know came out of UCLA right after graduating and are still, in the commercial brokerage business in LA. It's a pretty tight-knit fraternity, even though we're competitors.
Yep. Very good. So in the commercial real estate building, you normally have a building owner, you may have a property management company, and obviously you've got a tenant that comes in and takes the space. So I think your focus is just on the tenant though, is that right?
Correct. And that focus can't be without the focus of what a landlord's priorities are. So even though I'm representing companies versus properties, I have to know every single thing there is about a property, when the mortgage is due, what kind of debt structure the landlord has on the building, what kind of fund is the building being held in, is it something they're planning on turning around and selling in 2 years, because all of that information from the landlord side, and fortunately I'm with a large international company that has incredible research capacity. All of that information is critical when I go back to advise a tenant on why one building versus another might offer a better alternative for them long term.
So, would the landlords see you as a part of their team, or they're a little bit concerned that you're just getting information from them to then take it to the tenant and shop around? How does the landlord see you?
I think some of them see me as an irritant, and I think some of them see me as an asset to their asset, because I think that a knowledgeable broker who understands the market, who understands the dynamics of a submarket, who can properly educate their client, the tenant, on that can help bring landlords and tenants' expectations closer together. And that, to me, has always been the most difficult part of the business, is how do you get landlords and tenants to both see an objective as being the same, where they come at it from such opposite sides. I think that I have the pleasure of not caring where my clients move to. My job is to make sure that they understand how much they're spending or saving on one option versus another.
Right.
And so I have literally have letters from landlords who have thanked me for the way that I've conducted myself.
Right.
And I have others who I'm quite sure have dartboards with my face in their office.
Sure.
And, I'm never sure which I should be more proud of, but I'll take them both.
Well, that's what you just described is the joy I have trying to help somebody sell their business. You know, you're representing the seller typically, and you've got other parties in the transaction who you have to please. Otherwise, nothing's going to get done. If I've got a seller that's leasing space, I've got to work with the landlord. I've got to find the right buyer in the process to bring the landlord, because I know if the seller's all revved up and ready to sell, but the landlord's not on board, I'm wasting my time. And so that's just part of what we have to do to be successful.
I think you brought up a critical point. I work with a lot of companies who acquire other companies and companies who are looking to be acquired. I always find that it's so critical, and real estate is often sort of the you know, not the third choice stepchild for people to pay attention to, is the pre-sale tune-up. To me, is a critical exercise. If you have an asset or you have a business that you're thinking about selling, we can bring incredible value to the table by taking a look at what are the assets within that business organization, the leases, the properties or own, and what can we do with those prior to taking them out to market to make sure that we're either in a position to highlight the assets or get rid of the liabilities so that you're maximizing the cost when you sell the business. When I work with companies that are in acquisition mode, several of whom I finally got them to understand, if you'll give me the real estate portfolio before closing, I'll go through and tell you whether every single component of that is an asset or a liability. And if we can find some assets, you may be able to bid more for purchasing this company if you're going into it in a competition with other potential buyers, knowing that we can dispose of $10 million of real estate in the first 24 months. So we're very much plugged into the program of merger, acquisitions, sales, et cetera. And I think that pre-sale tune-up concept is something that we've had a lot of success with.
And I absolutely love what you're saying, because I've just had a deal collapse yesterday because the business was selling for about $2.1 million, and the broker was representing the seller. He had done none of that, and so I just spent 3 months with the broker and the seller and my buyers who had an interest to buy the business. Trying to drag information out of the seller and the broker, and they had absolutely nothing put together. And we went through step by step. Their valuation was way too high. We couldn't get information, just simple information about negotiating with the seller to understand what we were actually selling. And so, in frustration, yesterday the buyer said, "We're done. I had a business appraiser lined up. He called the seller twice last week to have a conversation with him." And the seller didn't return the call. And so this is after 3 months of working with a seller who said he wanted to sell, and we had no information to make an offer. And the listing broker had brought a purchase contract to us and said, "Sign here, we'll make the disclosures in due diligence." And the buyers are saying, "We can't make an offer and sign a contract when we have no information to know if the price is reasonable." And we had a feeling it was way overpriced, we got some information, a little bit of information, and it was way overpriced.
Exactly.
And so it was just a waste of time to try and get in there and work with a seller, because we really had to educate the seller entirely the process, and that wasn't a fun place to be.
We had a company that we represented who was looking at a company that they wanted to buy, but there were some underperforming assets within that company. They occupied three floors of an office building. When we went in and took a look at that company, we realized we really only needed one floor to operate. That company had about 5 years left on a lease for all three floors. Well, we went in and negotiated a deal with the landlord that if we were able to acquire this company who was failing because of these two floors worth of underperforming assets, we would take the third floor and we would extend that out for 15 years. So the landlord was excited because we were coming in as a Fortune 500 company. We were going to buy this company, get rid of the stuff that wasn't working. He was going to get his lease extended. And when we came back to our client, we told them that you've got $10 million coming right off the books the minute that you sign this purchase, because we've got a lease ready to go with the landlord that'll get ready for the rid of those two floors. Well, they went back in and they upped the purchase price by $5 million. They got the company and ended up pocketing $10
million.
Wow. So it really was simply looking at the company's real estate as a financing vehicle.
Right.
Not just looking at a lease as a liability, but saying, how do we use this?
My guest is Mark Robinson. He's an LA commercial real estate broker. When we come back from break, I've got some more questions for Mark. I really enjoy having a conversation with Mark. We'll be back shortly.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
Stocks are slumping. The S&P 500 index is lower for a second day. From Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York, I'm Charlie Pellett. Results from retailers are disappointing investors, and trade data is fueling concern the Federal Reserve may reduce its bond purchases this year. American Eagle Outfitters and CVS Caremark are slumping more than 2.1%. President Obama delivers a major speech on housing this afternoon in Phoenix. Here's Housing Secretary Sean Donovan.
He's going to say two key things. First of all, we've seen a lot of progress in our housing market. Foreclosures going down, home prices going up, construction workers going back on the job. $2.8 trillion of new housing wealth that's been created in this country over the last few years. But there's more that we can do.
The S&P 500 index down 8 points, a drop of 0.5%. Dow Industrials down 81 points, also a drop of 0.5%. The Dow at 15,531. That's a Bloomberg Market Minute.
Money 105.5 and Sacramento Kia salute Sleep Train for brightening the lives of foster children here in Northern California. Drop your gift of school supplies for foster children at any Sleep Train location.
Michael Cropper here. In August, we're supporting Sleep Train foster kids by donating $100 for every new Sacramento Kia sold. And for my football fans, enter to win a Raiders football weekend just for stopping by Sacramento Kia.
Not everyone can be a foster parent, but everyone can help a foster child with Sleep Train. Sacramento Kia and Money 105.5.
Is your child receiving the excellent education that will help him grow to his full potential? Wouldn't you like them to be in an elementary school where the class sizes are small and distraction-free? Teachers at El Rancho School give their students individual attention. Students become super scientists, mathematicians, and outstanding readers and writers. With enrichment classes in music, PE, and Spanish, El Rancho students are not only top scholars, but they love school. Stop by El Rancho's gated school for a tour or online at elranchoschool.com.
They said it would be so super easy.
Who?
You know, they.
Oh, you met them?
Yes, they.
Mm. Oh, they, that they.
Yes,
the
yes.
People who say.
Yeah, long name,
amazing results.
Results.
Yeah, no.
The SacramentoHelpWanted.com people.
I love them. I posted my resume in minutes, searched hundreds of local jobs.
And you found a job.
Thanks to them, I did.
They.
Ah, I always wondered who they were.
SacramentoHelpWanted.com.
Now I know.
Welcome to Linda's Javapalooza. I'm Linda.
Wow, this is huge.
57,000 square feet of potential employees. What are you looking for?
Retail.
All the way in the back. Turn left when you hit the IT guys.
Thank you.
We know this is ridiculous, but we're making a point. We're SacramentoHelpWanted.com. And if you're an employer looking for qualified local employees with experience in retail all in one place, don't go here.
There was nobody back there.
Did you turn left at the IT guys?
They weren't there either.
SacramentoHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
Money experts every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson, and my guest this morning, all the way from Los Angeles, is Mark Robinson. And Mark's a commercial real estate broker in LA, does a lot of high-end deals with the entertainment industry, and we'll cover some of that a little bit later with my questions. But if you're listening and like I'm doing, you're thinking, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about, you may like to give Mark a call. His number is 310 area code, Los Angeles, 310-595-2204. So if you're heading down to LA and need some commercial real estate, Mark's a good guy to give a call. He obviously knows what he's talking about. I'm impressed with his knowledge, and appreciate talking to you, Mark, this morning. Thank you for hanging in there with me.
Sure. I just want to say, too, that I'm with Cushman & Wakefield, who's a large international company. We don't you don't have to just call if you need help in L.A. I represent companies nationally and have, you know, an incredible network, including a fabulous office up in Sacramento. So if anybody has any questions or is looking for help, I can make sure that we point them to the right team. Yep. In the city they happen to be in.
Cushman & Wakefield has a website, I'm presuming. Is that right?
That's CushWake.com. CushWake.com.
There you go. Nice and simple. Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah. So we've been talking about commercial real estate and what's happening down in LA. How do the tenants find you? Obviously you're part of Cushman & Wakefield, but if somebody wants to find you because of your area of expertise, is there a trick to doing that, or is it just through your networking that people know who you are and make referrals to you?
Well, I think it's a combination of getting old and doing the same thing for a long time.
Sure.
That you kind of carve out a reputation. I think one of the things that I've loved about the entertainment industry is, first of all, I get to deal with some of the most brilliant, creative, and insane people on earth, which makes every day a little bit interesting.
Yes.
But I think the other thing is the executives in the industry tend to move around a lot.
Right.
So as a young broker, I came up with this brilliant strategy of meeting smart people and following them from job to job. And in some cases can track, you know, an individual that I met in 1993 whose company was acquired, who then went to another company and his boss moved. And I've got maybe 20 deals that I can track to one or two people that I've met and done business with over the years, because the executives tend to move around. The other thing is that I think that it's an industry where people are comfortable picking up the phone. If I need somebody to make a call, they're happy to do that. And they're also incredibly difficult to please, sometimes impossible to please. But I think if you're willing to tell them no,
yep,
you stand out because they're not surrounded by people that will tell them no.
Right, right.
And I think sometimes it's because I have convinced them not to do deals that they wanted to do that I've been able to earn some loyalty. But I think mainly it comes down to really knowing what's going on, what tenants are expanding, and who am I ideally suited to help.
Yep.
And I think companies that have a national presence who want to have one broker that really understands how the business operates and can put a team together in each city that they occupy space in, so that they're not having to train a new broker in every city.
Right.
They have one broker who can go out and work with other professionals within the organization. I do a lot of work in New York because the entertainment industry is so prevalent there as well.
Right.
And I've got a team in New York of guys who they may as well be sitting in my office. We work that closely together.
Wow. Okay. That's going to be exciting to have that diversity, work in LA and having people in New York. The entertainment industry I presume that the players industry were fairly stable, but based on what you're saying, there's lots of change happening in the industry. It has to reinvent itself for different reasons?
Well, I think, you know, most of the executives work on 3-year contracts, and they typically stick around for 2.5 or 4 or 6. And during good times, they move around because the packages that they're offered are exciting. And I think it's a very competitive, cutthroat industry in the business. I work with a lot of business managers who have recommended me to their clients or who look to me to sort of be their in-house real estate provider. I also have organizations that I work with, the Screen Actors Guild, the Grammys, the Emmys, where they're not big enough to have a real estate department, and so they've relied on me to act as that over the years. And we've had a very successful long-term relationship together, working with them wherever they need something done.
Yeah, intriguing. And is the city of LA, I'm sure they are, but I expect them to be, are they supportive with what you're doing? When I say supportive, obviously the industry is incredibly important to LA. So by default, does that flow to you and the work you do?
Well, yeah, I think that because the energy, you know, we've lost the bank headquarters, we've lost most of the aerospace, and so now tech, and more importantly, content. People who provide content that could be broadcast over all of these new mediums. You know, my kids watch TV shows on their iPhones.
Right.
YouTube, you know, is now the largest network on earth. And so LA is being flooded with people that are content providers and want to create these shows and incubate talent. So you have a whole new wave of people coming in that's having an extraordinary impact on how people look at office space. You know, when I was growing up, having the big corner office was the big deal. The people that are coming out of college now that are looking to get into entertainment or tech or media, they don't care about the big office. They want a cool workplace. So they're not looking for, you know, a 15 by, you know, 15 office. They want to know that they have wide open space, that they have a foosball table they can play with, that there's a cappuccino machine and a nice kitchen where they can congregate. They're also not tethered to PCs. So you have an entire generation now that you're going to be building office space for that's used to working off iPads and laptops. And if you go into these entertainment companies and you go into these tech companies, these people are walking all over all day, finding an area to sit down, grouping together and working on projects over coffee tables versus sitting in conference rooms, which are, you know, staid and formal. And so if you're a landlord looking to develop a new project for office space, you have to be looking at a completely different kind of office space than you developed 20 years ago.
Yeah. Intriguing. Is the commercial real estate footprint for the entertainment industry, is it right throughout L.A.? Or I used to live in El Segundo, so I spent some time there and lived in Westchester as well. So I know the East Bay area. But does the commercial real estate industry, or for the entertainment industry, does it go right through L.A. and down to San Diego as well, I believe? Is that right?
Well, the tech industry tech is now sort of bleeding into media and entertainment because, you know, all these internet companies are all doing content, et cetera. But quick story is I had a client who was launching a new business that was being backed by the studios, and they wanted me to look at space all over. And I just told them, look, you're either going to have a San Marino CEO or a Pacific Palisades CEO, and when you hire your CEO, we'll figure out where you're going to move. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this is locationally directed based on who's at the top. And the top is pretty well spread all over Los Angeles. So, yeah, we get to do business pretty much all over the basin.
That's going to be a challenge doing all the driving around L.A. That's one of the reasons I left L.A. I just to travel anywhere on the 405 and the 5 and the 605, you were just forever in a car. So,
we have a little traffic down here. That's what makes, you know, all of these devices so helpful. You can now do FaceTime with somebody instead of driving 40 minutes to see them.
Yep. Very good. Let me change topic a little bit, and it's in the same topic, but what are some of the biggest mistakes you find when people are dealing with commercial office space? What are some of the biggest mistakes you see people making?
Well, you deal with companies that are looking to sell or looking to buy, et cetera, and I think what happens is an extraordinary amount of energy and attention goes into a business plan. When you look at how critical planning is to a business, a lot of times they have a business plan and they go, okay, good, this should equal about 50,000 feet. Go find me 50,000 feet.
Right.
I don't think enough planning goes into what happens if it works beyond our dreams. What happens if it doesn't work? So what I try to do is get a team put together up front that can take this business plan, break it down, analyze it, and turn it into a facilities plan. And because I spent so much time in the entertainment and the production industry, in the production business, you need a lot of space when you're in full-blown production, and then not as much space when you're not. So I sort of feel like I have to create an accordion. And I think tenants don't put enough planning up front into what happens if I succeed and what happens if I fail, and how does that affect my real estate. It's funny too, because you had a guest on recently, Linda Bigler, who is a business coach, and I know she's a fanatic about planning. But it's great to plan, but if you don't execute and if you don't follow the plan and convert it, I want a blueprint so that when I'm negotiating a lease, I know how to get you out of it. And that I think is really critical. That's one of the mistakes. I think one of the other mistakes is people don't look enough at how else can I occupy space. If I'm going to be building out space now, who am I building it for? Well, the likelihood is if you're going to be in space for 10, 15 years, you're building it for the people coming out of school now. And as I said earlier, they just want different kind of space. They want to be able to bring their dog to work. They want to have the flat screens in the space. They spend more time in the office than we did years ago. So that's critical. And I also think that a lot of people tell me, well, look, I really like the building and I just want to stay here. That's nice, but I think they fail to create leverage by taking their requirement and really going out and broadcasting it to the market and letting the market respond to them so that they can figure out what kind of deal could I get if I move. I've had plenty of tenants who had no intention of moving who did at the end of the day because the savings were so astronomical because of a new project. And so those are the three things that I think are most critical is take a hard look at your plan, figure out how to execute your plan, take away a look at how you occupy space, could you be more efficient, and then make sure that you've got proper leverage.
So I've got some more questions for you, Mark, about business plans, facility plans when we come back. We're going to take a break. Again, thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. My guest this morning is Mark Robinson, all the way from Los Angeles, and he's a great guest. He's got lots of information about commercial real estate. Some more questions for Mark when we get back from break.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogers and Business Services.
Call Money 105.5 at 866-576-1055. And get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0. Money 105.5 and Sacramento Kia salute Sleep Train for brightening the lives of foster children here in Northern California. Drop your gift of school supplies for foster children at any Sleep Train location.
Michael Cropper here. In August, we're supporting Sleep Train foster kids by donating $100 for every new Sacramento Kia sold. And for my football fans, enter to win a Raiders football weekend just for stopping by Sacramento Kia.
Not everyone can be a foster parent, but everyone can help a foster child with Sleep Train. Sacramento Kia and Money 105.5.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of four books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live, 10 a.m. Tuesdays, right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson, and my guest all the way from Los Angeles is Mark Robinson. And Mark's a specialist in the commercial real estate industry, and in particular the entertainment industry, and sharing lots of information with me about what he does down in LA, finding space for tenants who are in the entertainment industry, and I'm finding it intriguing. Mark, before break, we were talking about you're looking for a tenant to bring you a business plan, and then from that you'll make a facility plan. So is there a process you try and encourage a tenant to work with that makes your job not so much easier, because the job's not easy, but if there's things that are done a certain way, the chances of success are greater. So do you have a process you encourage people to follow?
Yeah, it's fairly simple. I think up front, it's putting the right team together. I think that it's critical to have contractor input. We have a fabulous project management group in Cushman & Wakefield that also includes people that are architects. So we want to make sure that we up front program out what the needs are, so that before I even start talking about buildings or prices or anything, we've had the opportunity to take a look at what are our current requirements, what are our growth projections, and how do those translate into square footage over a period of time. And typically, we want to look at the next 3 years, the next 5 years, the next 7 years, so that we're looking at buildings that we know can accommodate that growth. It makes no sense to move into four walls and move into your own building if you think halfway through the lease term you're going to double in size. It would be much better to be in an office building where you know tenants are constantly moving in and out, and you'll have a bite at the apple to get more space. So that's the first thing, is we want to have an architect or a project manager on board to understand what the physical requirement is. As we're going through looking at buildings, I also want to have my project management, my contractor, evaluate each building, because every piece of space that I'm looking at is in different condition. If I'm building from scratch, that's one thing. I know that I'm going to get new space with all new equipment. But if I'm going to be using second-generation space, I want to make sure that I have an engineer and a contractor look at the space and find out how long do these air conditioners, should I plan on those living? What are some of the other things that we may have to pay to replace over the cost of the lease, over the course of the lease, because I want to make sure that I identify what all of the costs are to a tenant over the term of the lease and not have them come up with surprises. From that point, I want to bring in an attorney, because as we're drafting the letter of intent, I want to make sure that we have the tightest document, and I will typically get people in to do all of that on my nickel to get the upfront work done so that when we then are in a position to make a decision, the tenant has the opportunity to hire the right people. If they like the team they've been working with, that's fabulous. If they want to interview architects, contractors, I always encourage that. But I think it's that upfront work that really has, I found over the years, has saved the most headaches and the most money.
You seem to have a philosophy, which is what I've got as well, and that's disclose, disclose, disclose. And maybe my mantra is a little bit different for yours for a different reason. But to me, the more people know and the more they're aware and the better their education about what's happening on around them with this process, the more the greater the chances are success because they feel comfortable with the decisions they're making. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, I think you have a higher close ratio when you have clients that are confident in the decisions they're making. So the more information that we can put in front of them, the more questions we can anticipate and put out on the table early on, I think the better it is for any business operator to be looking and say, okay, I'm comfortable that we've really examined everything that we need to examine. Now, that said, I have no shortage of clients who just say, go get me space in that building, and you go, yes, sir, because they're just going to do that no matter what you say, and they're not going to listen to you, and they don't care about your program. But
right,
they have the money to do that, and so sometimes that's what we end up doing as well. But I've certainly had to get enough people out of situations who just thought, I'll get my own building and move in,
right,
when all of a sudden they're expanding and out of space.
What you're saying to though is which is important to what we do. You know, there's a huge element of trust involved in the work we do as brokers, and if people don't feel comfortable with us or don't think that we've got their best interest at heart, they'll move on and go somewhere else. So that's part of what I'm picking up from the quality of what you're doing. There's a trust component that the client knows, the tenant knows what you can bring them, and they're happy to rely on that expertise and that trust that you bring.
Well, it's not hard to get your reputation ruined with a couple of deals that go the wrong way because things weren't handled right, versus having a reputation where people will pick up the phone and call someone and say, hey, I've been working with this guy for 15 years. You can trust him. He'll take care of you.
Exactly.
And I think you have to be looking at that.
Yeah, actually, I agree. Does part of your team include finance? Do you help people get organized finance?
We have a CPA MBA in our office who does all of our number crunching for us, and so every time we have an opportunity to look at a deal, we're going to plug in all of the elements that a tenant would have to anticipate paying for. We don't look at rent per se as being the driving factor, because you could go into a building that's more expensive but make more use of the existing improvements, negotiate for free parking, negotiate for free rent at certain times of the deal. So it's really about, for a tenant, what's my total cost of occupancy? And that's how we build the financial models that we use with our clients.
Yep. And if somebody, you know, the recession has forced us to look to save money. So if you're helping somebody, and obviously, you know, saving money is a critical part of what you're going to do in business these days, what are some of the ways you can help people save money on their office space?
Well, I think it's having a real understanding of the local market, and which is why I say, even if I'm doing national business, I want to make sure that I have a partner who's, you know, rock solid in the local market. What landlords, you know, I'll give you an example. We had a landlord who we knew that his mortgage was coming due in 2 years, and we represented about 25% of his building, and our lease was over market. Well, we went in and we got him to restructure the lease, add 5 years of term to it, and he wrote a check for $2.5 million. So the tenant was able to get their rent below market, keep that below market for another 5 years out beyond the 2 years,
right,
and get a cash contribution because it made it easier for that landlord to refinance his building.
Wow.
So this was not, you know, there are times when you need to, you know, go old school and take your shoe out and bang it on the desk. I just find most of the time there's room to create transactions that work for everyone. And I think so it's looking at your lease as a financing vehicle and going, what can I do with this lease to save money or bring in concessions? And one other thing before I forget, well, I was just corrected. The website is CushmanWakefield.com. It's no longer shortened from Cushwake. So
okay,
anybody who wants to find me can find me there.
So give it to me again. It's www.CushmanWakefield.com.
.com.
Okay, and just, you know, go and do a Google search for Cushman and Wakefield, and it'll pop up nice and simple. So we're getting close to our time. Mark, this has been intriguing. I've enjoyed my conversation with you immensely. If you're listening, Mark Robinson's my guest. Mark's a commercial real estate agent in Hollywood, in LA. His phone number down there, if you want to give him a call, it's 310-595-2204. And we're kind of moving to wrap-up mode, but I thought you'd like to share some of your success stories. I've got a list of some of your noteworthy transactions. Maybe a couple pop to mind you'd like to share with us. What's some of your pop to mind notable transactions that you've done?
Well, I think the one that I just shared was on behalf of the Screen Actors Guild, who had, you know, with the landlord who wrote him a $2.5 million check. And of course, I went back and looked a couple years later and saw that we had 2 years left. He had 2 years left before the mortgage was due, and we had 3 years left on the lease. And so I walked in and said, "How'd you like to write another check for $2.5 million?" Which he did. And so in a 4 year period, we were able to get a tenant $5 million cash. By doing nothing more than using their lease as a financing vehicle. So that's the type of things that we like to do. Other examples is to be able to look at a national portfolio and go in and find where we have excess space, find where we have not enough space, and really get in and be given the opportunity to get to some real savings and right sizing. And right now we're going through an exercise with a client, just re-looking at how they operate, as we talked about earlier, trying to open up space, bring in more light. And so they want to spend some money to stay competitive. I think that if it's anything that I'm proud of, it's working with a team to create environments that help people retain and attract the best talent they can.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I think on the fun end of it, I had an intern come out of UCLA, and I told them to wear a suit because we had an important meeting with an A-list actor on the Warner Brothers lot. And
yep.
His first day at work with me, we were standing on the lot, and the entire cast of Friends walked over, thought I looked like one of the studio suits, and came and had a nice chat with them. And I told the young intern, this is pretty much how it goes every day. So he didn't believe me, and he stuck around for a few years.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, Mark, I can't thank you enough for being a guest this morning. Your information and your stories are fantastic. If you listen again, Mark Robinson was my guest, and he's in L.A. If you want to give Mark a call, 310-595-2204. He's with Cushman & Wakefield. Mark, I want to thank you for being a guest this morning and being generous with your time with me. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Okay. Thanks very much. Thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. Next week, my guest is Steve Zeller from Zeller Kern. He's a private wealth manager, and Chuck Ashman from SMA Global, and he's talking about cybersecurity. Bye for now. We'll talk to you next week.